You're listening to Rocky Mountain Review on 90.5 FM KCSU Fort Collins for Thursday, April 11th. I'm Lee Zimpel, your news director.
I am Tyler Weatherwax, your assistant news director, and we are the voices behind the Rocky Mountain Review news broadcast that airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
As always, we here at the Rocky Mountain Review strive to give you the most up-to-date, unbiased, and factual news. On today's show, CSU tuition is going up again, and Tyler will tell you what you need to know about it and more for campus news.
And some water systems in northern Colorado have higher than recommended levels of toxic chemicals. Learn more in Local with Lee.
Then April has a handful of big on-campus events. Hear the rundown in Life and Events with Tyler.
Later on in the broadcast, Denver has a new plan to deal with the ongoing surge of migrants. Now that the city budget has taken some deep cuts, more on that in National with Lee. And with that, we'll get started with campus news. Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University campus news. Students at CSU pay thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars in tuition to attend the university. A good portion of the set tuition price and who controls the spending of that money is decided by your student government, the Associated Students of Colorado State University. A tuition increase has been decided, a 3% tuition increase for in-state students, and for out-of-state students that increase will be 4%, and as out-of-state tuition is much higher, that 4% increase will have a much higher strain on the students from out-of-state. In the ASCSU Senate chambers, there will be a tuition town hall where Vice President Brennan Hanlon will be going over the tuition increase and students are encouraged to attend. The tuition town hall will be in the Laurie Student Center in room 206 tomorrow from 2 to 3 p.m. As artificial intelligence has seen a sharp increase in student usage over the past year, some departments have been increasing their focus on AI detection. The English department on campus recently announced new AI detection tools being implemented for their college. Now another department has joined in on the efforts of preventing AI usage as well as helping with the tool. The Division of Information Technology recently announced that they too will now have an AI task force for students to utilize. This team will be a campus-wide task force that will help students of all colleges. That'll do it for your campus news. Coming up next is Lee with your Northern Colorado local news. Find out about a cow in Larimer County that was allegedly killed illegally by a neighbor right now.
In local news, the Environmental Protection Agency has its eyes on multiple public water systems in northern Colorado because they each have levels of toxic chemicals that are higher than the newly set limit. The chemicals in question are known as forever chemicals. You might have heard the term PFAS, which is an acronym for the actual chemical names themselves. Forever chemicals are called that because once they're in your body, they'll stay there for a very long time, and they're in plenty of products people use on a regular basis. PFAS chemicals are used in cookware, carpets, clothes, makeup, basically anything that is stain resistant or nonstick. The chemicals are known to cause cancer, can harm the liver, and can hurt fertility, and they can easily find their way into drinking water and in water used for growing food. There's really no way to avoid these chemicals because of how present they've already been in everyday life, but the EPA's new limit is pushing utilities in Colorado to at least clean up their water. A water system status report from the State Department of Public Health and Environment says Larimer County is in the clear in terms of having less than the chemical limit, but some other nearby counties that read higher than the limit include Jefferson, Weld, Adams, and Boulder. To help clean up water in those areas, about $41 million is expected to be dedicated to testing and treating water across Colorado. Even though the EPA's new warning might seem scary, experts are saying it's a good thing the chemical limits were set in place, and it gives a new direction towards cleaning local water supplies. According to the Denver Post, the Rocky Mountain senior attorney with the nonprofit group Earth Justice, Ian Coghill, says that the new standard is a big step that will push public water systems into cleaning their supplies. A Larimer County man was arrested earlier this month for shooting and killing several of his neighbor's cattle. The Larimer County Sheriff's Office says the illegal killings led to over $30,000 in losses. In a Tuesday news release, police identified the man accused of pulling the trigger as 37-year-old Michael Hester. Larimer County investigators believe Hester was driving around in an off-road UTV while shooting at his neighbor's livestock. At the scene, deputies found a total of seven dead cows across the property. An eighth cow was found critically injured, and police say it had to be euthanized. Hester is now facing a handful of criminal charges, including 9 counts of aggravated animal cruelty. In the release, authorities say the crime was a disturbing disregard for life, and it's known how much the local ranching community values their animals. Investigators say the suspect killed the cattle while they were grazing the land near his property. The sheriff's office says the open range law allows livestock owners to let their animals graze without needing to fence them in. And investigators say there is evidence that Hester removed a fence around his property that would have prevented his land from being grazed. Larimer County Deputy Andrea Maxwell, who specializes in livestock law, says the $30,000 loss from the cow killings is hurtful in multiple ways. She says livestock agriculture is a lifestyle and a business, so killing someone's cattle also kills someone's livelihood and income. Contributions to this story come from CBS News. And lastly, a Fort Collins animal rescue is calling on the community for help after more than 500 guinea pigs were rescued from a breeder. KVs and Canines Animal Rescue says the Colorado-based breeder could not properly take care of the guinea pigs, and she was thinking of feeding them to birds. They were kept in plastic storage bins and were lacking food and water. The rescue says a lot of the guinea pigs are sick and infected with mites and ringworm. KVs and Canines director Natalie Riggs says the guinea pig's owner couldn't take care of them anymore because their spouse passed away. She says the rescue extends its sympathy to the owner and that she's glad the animals were able to be taken out of that situation. The urgency for fosters is still high for the rescue, though. They say most of the female guinea pigs are pregnant and they expect a wave of 400 more guinea pigs to come from that. Rescue officials are asking the community to give the guinea pigs new foster or permanent homes so that they have enough space for the influx of babies. If you want more information about what can be done to help the rescue, you can find that on the KVs and Canines Animal Rescue Facebook page. Those were your local news updates for now. My name is Lee Zimpel. Coming up, CSU has a lot planned for April, from visiting politicians to the return of a campus music festival. Tyler will be back with more on that in Life and Events right after the break.
Crazy Carl's is a proud supporter of KCSU. Located on West Elizabeth, Crazy Carl's serves a large selection of pizza and appetizers. Crazy Carl's has catering as well as dine-in options available. For more information about their menu and ordering options, visit crazycarlspizza.com.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with Life and Events. A current Colorado senator and a former Colorado senator are set to visit Colorado State University's campus. The two senators making the trip to Fort Collins are Michael Bennett and Cory Gardner. The two will sit down with CSU President Amy Parsons for an event titled Building Bridges. The event is to show how two people on the opposite sides of politics can sit down and build bridges with each other. The two will focus on ways that people can come to compromises and the current state of democracy. Parsons will act as the mediator for the event. The Republican senator and the Democratic senator will showcase how they can agree even by being with different political parties. This event will be in the Lori Student Center Ballroom B on April 22nd from 2 to 3 p.m. Next week at CSU is a special celebration for some on campus. Starting April 20th is the CSU Employee Appreciation Week. Many employees of CSU will be honored and celebrated, seeing many treats provided to them, such as cookies, coupons, and coffee. The celebration kicks off at the CSU spring football game, which also takes place on April 20th. Tabling will take place on the CSU Plaza from 10 a.m. to noon, and on Thursday, April 25th, the CSU employees can get a free cup of coffee at any of the local Human Bean coffee shops throughout the week. Also coming up later this month is the event Rams Fest. A very special guest will be performing that, being the band Midland. This year's Ram Fest is country-themed. Past themes included comedy, carnivals, and other concerts. Students actually decide what the event will look like, with 3,000 random students being surveyed on what they want to see at Rams Fest. This year we'll also see the opening band Sugar Britches to start off Rams Fest. The event takes place on April 25th inside Moby Arena. And don't worry, there are still plenty of events coming up this weekend too. To end off the week tomorrow, attendees can learn the skill of cooking with plant-based ingredients, learn how to use plant-based protein in meals, and showcase creative skills in cooking. This event will take place tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Gifford Building. Also, tomorrow night is one winner of the show RuPaul's Drag Race. Willow Pill is going on their first tour since winning the show and will take you through the winner's life story. This event will be at the Aggie Theater starting at 8 p.m. And on Saturday, you can attend the Spring Artesian Market. The market offers a chance for artisans and crafters to come to the market and showcase their work. The artists will be selling their art at the Fort Collins Senior Center from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday. That is all for your life and events. Coming up after the short break is Lee with your national news. Lee will walk you through a school shooter's parents who were sentenced to prison.
Alchemy speaking to you, dear listener. My show, The Witching Hour, is up next on KCSU. I've got a wide variety of topics lined up to talk about, including CSU sports and pop culture, so stay tuned.
Welcome back from the break. My name is Lee Zimpel, and these are some of your national news updates. Denver has a new plan to help deal with an ongoing migrant crisis. The city has seen an influx of nearly 41,000 migrants since the end of 2022, and the federal government has been staying fairly hands-off in helping to deal with it. With Denver relying on its own money, the city's budget has taken some deep cuts. Yesterday, Mayor Mike Johnston announced a new Denver asylum seeker program, which will keep the momentum of help going, but with a limited amount of time and space left. About 1,000 asylum spaces and dedicated apartments will open up, and for those who secure a spot, they'll get 6 months to stay. They'll also be given job and skill training, work opportunities, food assistance, and help with asylum applications. Johnston says Denver is trying to solve the migrant crisis by valuing immigration instead of turning its back on it, saying that immigration is a core part of American history. The city says they expect the program's new spots to be filled incredibly quickly. As of yesterday, about 800 migrants were already in line. Johnston says the new program's apartment strategy is a cheaper one compared to a standard shelter because it's made possible by nonprofit partnerships and by people offering up their own apartments. He says Denver's plan is one he will share with other cities because getting federal help has been a difficult thing to achieve across the board. The Biden administration planned for over $1 billion to fund those efforts in Democratic-led cities across the U.S., but the request did not make it past Congress. As reported by the Associated Press, instead, the federal program designed to provide shelter during emergencies was cut by about $150 million. This week, mass shooting criminal cases have taken an unprecedented turn where not only the shooter faces charges, but also the people in the shooter's life. On Tuesday, a Michigan judge ruled sentences that were the first of their kind, showing that the shooter's family can be indirectly legally responsible for mass murder. James and Jennifer Crumley are the parents of a teen who fatally shot seven people at Oxford High School in 2021. Each of them were sentenced to spend between 10 to 15 years in prison after both were found guilty in separate trials on four counts of involuntary manslaughter. In court, the shooter's father said he was sorry to the parents of the students his son shot. He said he wished he had known what was going on with his son and that he would have done a lot of things differently. The shooter's mother said the Crumleys were an average family in her eyes, saying even though they were not perfect, she and her husband loved their son. She said that any parent could be in their shoes where a family member decides to make a fatal choice. The families of the victims also spoke in court, with one mother saying the Crumleys were just as responsible as the shooter because they bought their son a gun in a time where he was already mentally spiraling. The victim's mother said every choice the Crumleys made leading up to the shooting were voluntary acts to help their son commit murder. The Crumley's son, who was 15 at the time of the shooting, pled guilty to murder and was sentenced to life without parole December last year. Legal experts are now saying that Tuesday's rulings open the door for more cases where parents share criminal responsibility with their child. Prosecutors say there was evidence Crumley's parents were aware of their son's mental distress on the day of the shooting, but after being called to the school to meet with a concerned counselor, his parents still left and returned to work. Lawyers also say the gun used in the shooting was never properly kept away from their son, despite them being told their son was thinking of disturbing topics around death. The Crumley's defense team argued that they were both victims of their son's actions too, saying their son manipulated them into buying a gun and that he hid any deeper motives. The couple said they thought their son's depression was a normal teenager's situation instead of something to be worried about more deeply. The prosecution, on the other hand, said that after the shooting, the parents showed a, quote, chilling lack of remorse. In court, moments after both were sentenced, the Crumleys started filling out paperwork for an appeal. Their son is also expected to appeal his sentence. The story is based on a courtroom reporting by NPR. That'll wrap up national news for now. Up next, Austin Martin will have you covered with the CSU Sports Report. Then we'll go over the weather ahead of this weekend to wrap up the show. But for now, we'll be right back.
It takes a lot of work to make sure that KCSU sounds as good as it does day in and day out. Here in the production department, we work hard to make sure that every piece of audio is up to our standards. From thanking our underwriting supporters to making promos that represent KCSU, its mission, and the people who keep the station running, the production department is always working on something to keep the sound of KCSU fresh and new.
Hi, I'm Austin Martin, sports director at KCSU. Here's what's going on this week in sports. CSU track and field finished their weekend performance in Boulder with nine event winners. Taylee Holker won the long jump with a mark of 6.50 meters. This jump is now tied for eighth in the country. Holker also won the 100-meter dash with a time of 11.68. This is now Holker's PR, and the time moves her to ninth in the CSU record book. CSU will split up their event groups again for the Pacific Coast Invitational, the Brian Clay Invitational, and the Long Beach Invitational through April 11th and the 13th. CSU tennis hosted the San Jose State Spartans last Friday. Sarka Richterova dealt with a right calf strain but was able to pull off a three-set win. Despite Richterova's display of grit, the Rams eventually lost as a team 4-3. Following the loss on Friday, the Rams picked up a team win against Fresno State in Fort Collins, beating the Bulldogs 4-1. The Rams have never beat Fresno State in a duel in six prior chances before last Sunday. CSU will head to San Diego to take on the number 60 ranked San Diego State Aztecs this Friday. CSU softball snapped their seven-game losing streak with two dominating home wins over the New Mexico Lobos last Saturday and Sunday. Sydney Hornbuckle led the way for the Rams in Game 1 by pitching a complete game on Saturday and notching her first and second career home run. In the second game against the Lobos, Hornbuckle added her third career home run, but she wasn't the only one for the Rams to go yard. Peyton Allen hit a home run in the second and fourth inning, followed by Jaylee Wilson, who also hit one out of the park. CSU softball will be back in action this weekend for a three-game series in Logan, Utah, as they take on Utah State. CSU women's golf found some success at the Chattanooga Classic by finishing tied for fourth over the weekend. Andrea Bergsdotter shot one under par for the entire tournament, which picked up her fourth top five finish. Colorado State will be competing in the Mountain West Championship April 16th through the 18th in Rancho Mirage, California. Be sure to tune in to Ramblers tonight for our DJ-a-thon edition from 7 to 9 p.m. as Caleb Allen and I break down everything you need to know about Colorado State sports. Remember, KCSU always has and always will bring you sports.
The past couple weekends were a little crazy in terms of feeling like random bouts of rain or cold, but this week, for the first time in a while, it'll actually end with the kind of weather most people would typically want to see during their weekend. Tonight we'll see a mostly clear sky with a low around 35 degrees. Winds will be pretty calm. They should be light and scattered throughout the evening. Friday will heat up to a solid 77 degrees with a clear, sunny sky. We'll have a gentle breeze to keep it feeling cool in the afternoon. Friday night will cool to a low of 44, and we'll gradually see some clouds come in. It'll be a little breezy after midnight, but we shouldn't feel anything too strong. And moving into the weekend, Saturday will be mostly sunny with another high of 77. The breeze will feel a bit stronger than Friday's, but it won't be a huge difference. If anything, it should just keep it feeling a little cooler. Saturday night will stay mostly clear as it cools to a low of 44 degrees. It'll be a pretty cut and paste kind of night, so it'll feel breezy like the night before. Sunday will heat up even more. We'll see a high of 78 degrees in a sunny sky. Sunday night will ride a low of 45 degrees, and it'll be a nice clear night to end the weekend with before we start seeing some rain when the new week starts. A quick look into next week. Monday will have a slight chance of showers in the morning. In the afternoon, we could see some thunder, but then other than that, it'll end up being mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 69. Information for this weather forecast comes from the National Weather Service.
And that is all for today. We would like to thank Damian Castile for our amazing theme music. We'd also like to thank the rest of our staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media. We couldn't do this without you.
Finally, we couldn't do this without you, dear listener, so thank you. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find the RMR podcast on kcsufm.com under the news or podcast section. You can also find us on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts by searching KCSU News. And with that, we'll see you next time.